Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night. Time for Inspirational Wednesday Night Bible Study. Words of Wisdom. I'm your host, Diane Adams. And always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. I thank God for each and every one of you who have taken time out of your schedule and come to, so we can come together and explore God's word. You know, for those people who live in the city of New Orleans where I'm broadcasting from, this has been a trying time last week with the weather. They had hurricane threats and tornado threats and flooding threats. But God spared us and allow us to be able to take and go on with our lives. And we have to take time and say thank you. God is truly in a blessing business. God take care of his children. And even if the storm would have came, and even if the hurricane had come, and the tornadoes blew down many things, God would still be in control. And it wouldn't mean that he loved you less. So we have to just hold on and trust God in all things, not just in some things. And we have to get out of his way and step aside and let God do the things that God does. So we have to keep that in mind. We have to step aside. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 1 through 10. And the title of the lesson is, To Become Mature in God is a Choice. To become mature in God is a choice. So just keep that in mind, and I'm going to play this song, and after the song is played, we're going to come back and explore the Word of God together. Be prayerful for one another. Be prayerful for the program tonight. Because God dwells within the prayers of his people. So the song that I'm going to play right now is called Step Aside. You know, we have to learn to get out of God's way. You know, anything that's going on in your life, anything that need to be changed, anything that you need help in, God's got it. And sometimes we are in the way with our thinking, with the things we are doing, maybe trying to fix it. And if you bring it to God, leave it there. Because there's some sayings that say, if you're going to pray, stop worrying. And if you want to continue to worry, then you don't need to pray. So I'm going to play this song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to explore the Word of God together.
Catch him by surprise. So if
you trust him just stand there beside. Oh, yeah. And me, don't question it.
Prayer, you could press the one button on your machine and I'll open up the airwaves, and we'll go on into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of all and every perfect gift, the beginning of all beginnings and the end of all ends, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer, the one who justified us. Hallelujah. And is sanctifying us daily. Lord, we come to your throne of grace because that's what we should do. We're asking you, dear God, to be right in the middle of everything that we're doing tonight. Lord, I pray that you don't allow your word to return void. And I pray that the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation to all those who seek to grow in your grace. Lord, I thank you for being such a good God. I thank you for being such a merciful God. I thank you for being my God. I thank you for your spirit, and I thank you for your son. Lord, and I thank you for your holy word, because it's what gives us strength. It gives us direction. It gives us peace. It restores our joy. Somewhere in the Bible says, like marrow to our bones. Lord, and I thank you, because the word helps us to make it through the day. And Lord, I'm asking that you open our ears and our eyes, that we can hear and we can see what the Spirit has to say. Because we need the word of God to be our daily instruction for our daily living, and we can't make it without the word of God. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for each and every one that decided to call on the night, those listening on the computers, however way they may be receiving a message, dear God. Bless all of them. Bless everyone, and especially those in the household of faith. Heavenly Father, all these blessings, and I ask in your darling son Jesus' name, because Jesus who paid the price, and all to him we owe. I thank you, dear God. Amen, and thank God. Our lesson tonight, I'll say the title again because more callers have called in. And the title of the lesson is To Become Mature in God is a Choice. We're coming from 2 Peter, the first chapter, the first through the 10th verse. So I'm going to do a background, and I chose Peter to write up this book tonight because Peter is very, very, very interesting. Interesting. You know, Peter wrote this book, 2 Peter, but he wrote it several years after his first encounter with Jesus. You see, Peter was a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he also wrote 1 Peter. You know, this was the last known writing of Peter, and not long after he was martyred, after he wrote this, a short period, he was martyred for his strong conviction for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if we take a look at Peter's life, we will realize that Peter was enthusiastic, strong-willed, impulsive, and at times arrogant, and he's even been called cocky. You see, Peter was the spokesperson for the disciples, and he did it boldly, even sometimes incorrect. He was one of Jesus' closest friends, an apostle, and a pillar of the church. But we see that about Peter. But I want to let you know tonight, with all of his strengths, Peter had several failures in his life. You know, if you look at the life of Peter, you'll see that Peter was the one who rebuked Jesus when Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer, be killed, then crucified, but in 3 days he would rise. You see, when Jesus was teaching them what was going to happen, because they just couldn't comprehend it. And Peter rebuked Jesus, like, you know, don't be saying that, and, you know, that ain't the way it's going to go down, but that's what he did. Because of his lack of knowledge or the revelation he didn't have concerning the matter. You see, Peter was the one who cut the soldier ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's when they came to get Jesus. The soldier reached out and Peter cut his ear. Jesus picked up the man in, put it back on his head. And, you know, because he knew, Jesus knew what he was about to face. Not only did he know it, he knew why. And he knew it had to be done. And he was willing to do it. And he was obedient to his Father. You see, but Peter didn't know all of that. See, we don't know all of the things of God. So we have to, like the record say, get out of the way. Step aside and let God have his way. You see, Peter began to walk on water. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he sank. And that same Peter, because of fear, denied our Jesus 3 times. But through it all, with his mistakes and failure and incorrect interpretation and not understanding, Peter kept pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. You know, all of us fall short of the glory of God. And sometimes in our lives, we do things that we shouldn't. We do things we wish we hadn't did. And we also do things that we know is not right to do. But we must do like Peter when we fall. Peter got up, repented, and kept it moving. You see, by continuing to grow in grace and the knowledge of God, at some point, like the lesson I'm asking you, Peter grew and he became more matured. In a lesson tonight, I'm telling you, maturity in God is a choice. But you see, Peter kept pressing. And at some point, he was growing. And, you know, growing is a process. And he became more matured. You see, he began to understand fully the word of God and began to do the work that God has assigned him to do. When he took a long look back over his life, I could imagine this. I guess Peter said he realized when he rebuked Jesus, he was leaning to his own understanding. And when he cut the soldier's ear off, he now realized that that battle was not his. It belonged to the Lord. And when he sank in the water, and he only began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus. You see, when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, it was because of fear. He now knows, once he became matured, that God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And he should have held on to the confession of his faith. But through it all, the Lord who chose him before the foundation of the world, he continued to mold and shape him into exactly who he intended Peter to be. And that's what God is doing with each and every one of us. God has an intended purpose for our lives. We know that because of Jeremiah 29 and 11. And he's just molding and shaping us and picking us up when we fall and dusting us off and sending us back out there and letting us hear the word of God from teaching and preaching and friends and things, and then we began to become more mature. You see, when Jesus chose Peter, he saw beyond who he was at the time, but what he would become. That's how God looks at each and every one of us. Not where we stuck at right now, not when we was yet in our sins back then, but he looked at us with an expected end. And it's our job to continue to grow and mature to reach that goal. God has a master plan for all of our lives. He is in total control, and we must be confident that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day Jesus comes. But you got to trust him. The God said, I'll never leave you nor forsaken you. And when you accept Christ, God began a work in you. And God said, I could handle it until Jesus come back again. And you see, when Jesus come back, you're going to have that glorified body so there won't be no presence of sin. You see, as we grow, we understand that the word of God is that which gives us knowledge of God and God's grace, which is activated by faith in Jesus Christ alone and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, is the only way we can become mature. You see, we can see what he did for Peter. He will do the same for you. And with Peter, we saw that God didn't allow Peter's past to dictate his future. And that's our background tonight on Peter. And we're going to go into scriptures, and we at 2 Peter, first verse. And right now I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And the scripture reads as follows. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 3, according to his divine power, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything you need to live a righteous life and to grow and mature, it's already in place. If you're not taking advantage of it, that's on you, because to become mature in God is a choice. And then it says, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. God has given us so many promises, and some of you may not even know none of them. To know his promises, you got to look at his will, and his will is his way, and it's in the Bible. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through life. Now, Peter wrote this, and that's Peter's salutation. You see, it starts off with, say, Simon Peter. Then he described what he is in Christ. He said, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he let you know who he's writing to. He said, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And what he's saying, here we see that Peter is talking to the believers. No matter what the question is, the word of God has the answer. You see, these scriptures say, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness that can only be obtained through the knowledge of God, who has called us. If you want to grow, if you want to begin to flow, and you want to reach a level of maturity, you have to study the Word of God. And you don't have to know what everybody else knows, but you got to begin to study and get all you can get. You have to study so you could articulate the Word of God correctly when you're called upon, or when you have to witness somebody, or even if you're some way evangelizing. If you only done picked up a little bit here and a little bit there, heard what this one said or heard what that one said, and you can't put it up, line it up against itself as a precept on precept or line on line, you may miss the intended interpretation what God is saying there. You see, the power to grow does not come from us but from God. Because we don't have the resources to be truly godly, God allow us to participate in his divine nature, which is his characteristics, his attributes, and his qualities. We could never be righteous. But God, when we accepted his son, he extended his righteousness towards us. He extended his divine nature towards us. You see, Christians are now responsible to draw upon these provisions in order to build a godly character in an ungodly world. God then gave everything for you to achieve it, but you don't even take time to see what it is. I ask God in prayer for it. You're going around just having your way. Just like I said, Christians are now responsible to draw upon these provisions that God has already provided in order to build godly character in an ungodly world. Because the scriptures told us when we do that, we could really let our light so shine. And you could ask yourself, what reflections are you giving out with the way that you live and act? But do you let your light so shine that men may see the good works and glorify the Father? If there's no works, there's no fruit, and if they're not there, nobody could see it. You might say that you trust God, but you can only trust someone you know. The more you know about God, that's how you begin to trust him more and more and more. If you know just a little bit about the man called Jesus, how could you trust him 100%? You see, God has given us his word, but we must put in the work to grow. There's no way humanly possible to know God without studying his word. You see, the Bible is where God reveals himself to us. So the more words you get, the more revelation you'll receive about God. You see, the word of God is where he allows us to know him. The word of God is God talking to us. And I thought about this a little earlier today. Each and every one of us know enough right. Well, I ain't going to say y'all, I'm going to just say me. I have so much work to do. And what I mean by that is I know a lot of things that is the right thing to do just because it's the right thing to do. But I haven't achieved them all. So if I just concentrate on the things that I know I need to be better with and be better at and do better, I'll grow that too. So I'm giving encouragement to those who maybe not know, you know, a lot of scriptures, don't feel they know how to study. You have some right things that you know is right to do and you're not doing them. There's enough right to do till we die. So just do what you could do that you know it's right to do because it's the right thing to do. And it's going to help you to grow. And I want you to know, we're living in the last days and trying times, and they got trouble at every corner, and everything is going crooked and everything. But I want you to know that it's time to grow up. Because Jesus is coming back. And we're going to read the fifth verse all the way through the eighth verse. And they say, and besides this, giving all diligence. So this scripture, Peter is asking you to do this. What did he say? Right here. He said, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperament. And to temperament, patience. We got to learn how to be patient with one another. And to patience, add godliness. This Peter telling us right here. And seven says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. That's what we should do. All of these things here, we know these without having to go back and take a 3-hour course. Do those things. To your knowledge, add temperance. Have the knowledge and know how to distribute and handle everything with temperament. And with brotherly kindness, it's going to also include charity. You know they got a need, and you could help the need. Come on, you love your brother, and yet you see him don't have no food, and yet you don't feed him. And number eight, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, which means non-producing, or non-fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, this scripture is letting us know what is necessary to grow and become mature in the faith. The traits stated in this scripture are needed to grow and to be productive and to be fruitful. I could ask the question tonight, all of us that's walking with Christ, do we have any fruit that are being seen in our lives that can draw, that can have an influence on someone else? You see, if we take inventory of ourselves, and you should ask the question, are you still drinking milk? Y'all know what I'm talking about. As the Bible says, a new Christian does, because of their newness. So everybody new start off with meat. But if you've been with God for a long time and not able to digest any meat of the word, then something is wrong. You see, God has supplied everything necessary for our growth. It's there, right in front of you. But you have to put in the work to grow. It's just not going to sink through your head. And many of us don't think it's necessary, because if we maybe thought it was necessary, we may do something about it. Do you only study when you have to study? And do you just read the word or read the lesson? Don't back it up. Don't look at it. You're reading and you know there's words in the scriptures that you don't understand. That's what dictionaries are for. The Bible didn't say read the word. It says study the word. And then it says meditate on the word. You see, growth and maturity is an option, and it's up to you how fast and far you travel. Some people say, well, that lady know a lot. She knows script. She had to get it the same way you got to get it. I'm not talking about me, you know, but I know some people will look at people and think they're, you know, so advanced in the things of God and the word of God and the scriptures. But the way they got it, it didn't drop in their head. You got to put in the work. You see, Satan is always watering down the word of God in our minds, trying to get you to think where you are is all right. Hallelujah. You don't need any more. That's how people really think. And you say, well, how you can say that, Sister Adams? Because they're not trying to get more. They say, you know, people use things like, I'm better than some people I know. I don't do everything she do. But we all do something. And then there's the great one. Some of the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. But there's more things that you're doing now you shouldn't be doing anymore. And that's just a fact. That's for me and everybody else that's on this earth. And they use things like no one is perfect. God didn't ask you to be perfect. He sent the perfect person. And his name is Jesus. He didn't ask you to be Christ. He asked you to be Christ-like. And he only asks you to be the best you can be. So the only thing is you don't have to reach the ladder where the top of the notch is. You only have to get on the ladder that God has designed for you because he knows your abilities. He's not setting you up to fail. He's not going to, and everything that God wants you to accomplish, he done already gave you the way to accomplish. And God never asks us to do nothing but with the stuff he has already given us. I came to tell you that the devil is a liar. You see, Satan's job is to keep you from being one of God's best with all of that foolishness, thinking you don't have to study, and then come into a setting and then, you know, maybe ask questions or maybe whatever you do. He tell you it don't take all of that. And if you've been getting by with it all of the time, well, maybe now be a time to do something different. You see, Satan's job is to keep you from being one of God's best. The word of God is designed to aid you in all matters that pertain to life in order to live in this evil world. There is a world standard which give destructions and a God standard which give life. You see, the world would throw you all kinds of curveballs. That's just a part of life. You see, with God on your side, those weapons that are formed against you will not prosper. You have a choice today. But you don't realize or you don't really know God's standards unless you study to show yourself approved as a workman. The word workman is in that scripture because a workman is described as someone who has mastered their craft. That's why God had the word workman placed in that. The Bible teaches us that we have to live in this world, but we're not of this world. We are living in God's kingdom here on earth and should represent the righteous king at all times. And I want to ask you, do you believe or do you know that you're a good citizen in the kingdom? The Bible explains how to do it, but you got to read it if you want Christian growth. And I guarantee you, your ladder will be better than your beginning. And if we look at the verses 8, I'm sorry, 9 and 10, and it reads as follows. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Are you walking blindly? And you may not be blind, but the scripture is fixing to tell you this. You cannot see far off. And has forgotten that he has purged you from your old ways. This is letting us know that if we lack knowledge in the things of God, we are blind and cannot see far off. And if you are still doing, if you are not doing a good work, it may appear that you were never saved. You act like you forgot that you were purged from your old sins. Why would you continue to do the things you did when you were ignorant? There was a time that you didn't know, but now that you do, where is the growth? Growing sometimes causes pain, but it is said, no pain, no gain. When you were saved, you entered the sanctification process that God designed. You see, the first step is when you first we receive positional sanctification. This was God's gift because you accepted his son. Soon as we accept Christ as our Savior, we get in position to receive everything that God has for the believer. No big eyes and no little U's, and just because she's been on the battlefield 50 years and you came in yesterday, you receive the same benefits. You see, in the world, they do it different. They call it tenureship or whatever on a job. It don't go like that. And God even said in his word, those who might have came yesterday could begin to do better than the one who was here for 50 years. You got in position when you received Christ. God placed us in position to receive all that he has to offer for us here and now and through eternity. See, and once we get in position, the next step is the progressional phase of our sanctification process. This is where everybody is right now. And we're going to be in this process until Jesus died, till Jesus come back for us, because he didn't already die. So we in the sanctification process. This process is where we play an active role by growing in grace, becoming a stronger, matured Christian, studying and praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. But I want to let you know, you got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and you got to be willing to submit yourself unto the Word of God. Remember, salvation does not depend on good deeds, but it should result in your doing good. A person who claims to be saved while remaining unchanged does not understand faith of what God has done, is doing, and promised to do. God has given us his word, which is his will and his way. God never gives you the opportunity to say that something is missing. Nobody will ever be able to go before God and say why you didn't. You should have. God has not given an opportunity where anybody could say, and I guess I'm talking about the excuses people make. He's not going to give you the opportunity to say something is missing. You see, God's way is full and complete, not lacking anything. God has given us everything necessary to live a righteous life, full of mercy, which is holding back what we deserve, and grace giving us what we don't deserve. You see, in the final process of the sanctification process will occur when Jesus returns for his people with his rewards in his hands. God took care of the first process, and he's going to take care of the final process because all that's gifts of love for you and I. Now, the middle is where we are now, and this process depends on us. And even here, God has given us our instructions, the word of God for daily living. And he has given us the aid of the Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility to grow. When I just read that, it made me think about when we born, let's say you was born in 1953 and you died in 2030. When they put that on your tombstone, they have a dash right there. So, you know, the dash, you came in the world. And then you going out the world. And in the middle, they got a dash. And what that dash represents is the life you lived. You see, God took care of the 1953 bringing you in the world because you didn't create yourself. And he's going to take care of 2030 when Jesus come and take you out of the world. But you have some responsibility in your dash. So tonight you could ask yourself, what will my dash say? And I could say, what are we waiting for? Tomorrow is not promised. And we have to remember only those things that we do for Christ will last. And the last verse said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What they telling you? You might not even know you have a calling, and you might not know your election sure, that you're the elect of God and that you have a guarantee of salvation. Because there's a lot of people still going around saying once saved is not always saved. And I talk to other people, if you ask them if they saved and they've been on a battlefield for all this time, they say, I'm trying to be saved. So they wake up every morning and try to do whatever they think they got to do to please God for that day. And so they're going to have to wake up and do it the next day. And they're going to have to wake up and do it the next day. That's how it was in the Old Testament when they was living by the law. God said, his people, that's too hard. He said, take this yoke upon you because my burden is easy. God didn't want us to have to walk and don't be sure. So this is what Peter said. Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. If you do what God said to do, you don't have to worry about all of that. And if you don't know the Bible and you don't know what it says about salvation, you probably heard someone say, you know, you got to be saved by doing right. They even have the theory that when you get up there, God is going to take all the right you did and put it on this side and put all the wrong on this side, and the right have to outweigh the wrong. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And I'm going to close with this. If you really know God, you will have to love him. You can't know who you are until you know who your maker is. The more you know, the more you know about God, the more you will know about you. As you grow and mature in the things of God, you will be able to say it with a blessed assurance. You will be able to speak with a blessed assurance that no weapon that form against you will prosper. You will be able to speak with a blessed assurance. You can speak that you know what you know, that God will work all things out together for my good. You can speak and know that you are the head and not the tail. You will be able to speak and know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. You see, all of this word will become real, and you will make your calling and election sure. God has given us his word, but we have to put in the work to grow and to become matured, and it's our choice. That's our lesson for tonight. If anybody have any questions, anybody want to pray, sing a song, give words of encouragement, do a benediction, you can do so at this time. Well, I'm going to use Peter to go out. And the benediction that I'm going to say is found in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and 18th verse. And if you're not familiar with it, just go and read it. And you can see Peter's last writing after seeing what he did in the first verse of this second book. But we're going to close out tonight with a benediction. And what I'm asking is, and just like Peter, that we all grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because I want to let you know that's where your strength comes from. That's where you're going to find your peace. That's going to remove all doubts and fear, because you're going to be matured. You're going to be able to know the schemes of the devil when you start doing that. But that's our lesson for tonight. And I pray that you were edified in some way from Peter's writing. And I pray that God is glorified. That's our lesson for tonight. And I want you to know that God loves you, and I do too. And be blessed and be prayerful for one another until we meet back again. And just like I said on last week, if anybody does not know God and the pardon of their sins, they could call a prayer line. And some more information could be given on how to be saved, why you want to be saved. So that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button right now. We're going to go off the air. So I tell each and every one of you good night and be blessed.